I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations.
Today on your show, a feature conversation with Dragons Den star Arlene Dickinson, plus two startup founders who pitched the Dragons. At age 30, Arlene Dickinson was divorced, had a high school diploma, no savings, and no idea how to feed four young children. She's now the CEO of Venture Communications, a co-star on the CBC TV hit Dragons Den, and one of the country's most sought-after female entrepreneurs. Arlene is a mother of four and a grandmother of three. She's been honored as Profit and Chatelaine magazine's top 100 women business owners. She's the author of the book Persuasion and creator of the Persuasion product line. Her newest venture, Arlene Dickinson Enterprises, is a company dedicated to serving and investing in the entrepreneurial lifestyle. Arlene Dickinson joins me live by phone from Toronto. Welcome, Arlene.
Hi.
Now, you are doing so many things in your career. Can you just share with listeners what's the range of things you actually do?
Well, I do CEO of Venture Communications, as you've mentioned in the intro. I am also on the two television shows, and I have a company called Venture Communications, which is my marketing communications company in Canada here, and that does work in the U.S. and North America. And then I also have a company called Arlene Dickinson Enterprises that does things, everything from investing in startup companies and entrepreneurial companies in particular, and helping them go to market, so media content and developing a website and a platform and a social community for them.
In a while, I want to talk to you more about what you're doing now and the investing you do through the TV shows and your latest business. But first, I'd like to get a bit of your own story, which you do share a lot in your book, Persuasion. You write, quote, "Even I can hardly believe the unlikely trajectory of my life."
Yeah.
So can you paint a picture for listeners about how you got out of your predicament when you found yourself living on your father's couch just before you finally got that job at the TV station?
You know, why I was able to do what I did, and I think where I have had the success I've had, is simply being because I was taught from a very young age that I had to rely on myself and that I couldn't look to other people to solve my problems for me, especially the problems that I'd created myself. So, you know, at the end of the day, what you have to do is get up and put one foot in front of the other and do the best you can in order to put food on the table, and that's really what motivated me. I had four young children. I didn't have any university or post-secondary education, and I needed to just be able to prove that I could support my family. And through that and through a willingness to take risk and try anything in order to accomplish that, I found myself on a life's path that was quite unique and quite different from what I would have expected had I thought about it when I was younger.
So you write that your resume was pretty thin at the time. This is going back to when you were about 30, I guess. But you got that job at the TV station. You were selling advertising. What happened from there that led to your move to venture?
At that, first of all, you know, you always have a break in your life, right? Career, anything that happens in life that is deemed lucky sometimes does have luck attached to it. And I got that job simply because my ex-sister-in-law helped me get the interview. And it's things like that when you're helping people and facilitating an opportunity that you don't know where that will lead. So I have to publicly thank her for getting me that interview at the TV station. Once I got that job, I actually met one of the senior salespeople there who left to join Venture himself. And when I lost my job at the TV station, they invited me in to come in as a partner at Venture, which at that time was a startup and wasn't making any money, but was an opportunity to at least say that I was working somewhere and getting my feet underneath me. So the job was offered, and the role as a partner was offered more to help me be able to show to my kids and the judges that I could support my family and less about my skill. And I learned to work really hard and build into that skill set so that I had the right to be there, not just the opportunity to be there.
What do you think it was that you demonstrated or showed to that, the sales manager or the ad sales manager that made him believe in you and trust you and bring you into the venture group?
I hope that what he saw was my willingness to work hard, was my ability to listen well to people, my desire and my intuitive skill in marketing. I think it was a combination of many things, and I think it was also through friendship, you know, somebody who understood the situation I was in and wanted to help me get ahead.
Right on. We're talking to Arlene Dickinson here on Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CIUT.FM worldwide. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. And Arlene, you talk about persuasion and the need especially to persuade ourselves. And you say in the book that you learned that our past shapes and influences who we are, but it doesn't limit who we can become. And you also say that the main obstacle was your own story about yourself. So how did you change that internal story, that story that you were telling yourself, to persuade yourself and make a change?
I think, listen, we all have tapes that we play in our head all the time about why we can't do things. And sometimes when you are down a road and you find yourself alone, the only voice you have is the one that's in your head, right? The only person you're really speaking to is yourself. And so it was kind of through understanding when I was failing, why I was failing was because I was telling myself I would. And I had to start to reframe in my own head that I could do things that I hadn't done before and that anything could be possible. And that if I started to believe in my own opinion more, that I could do things that I didn't think were possible. And I, you know, your point in that quote that you made in the book, from the book, is an incredibly important one for me. I believe that we say too often, you know, I can't be these things because of where I've come from, or there's no way I can do this because of you know, the bad experiences I've had, and I'm not good enough. And we tell ourselves those things, but really what we're doing is limiting ourselves in such a bad way. And what we have to do is start to convince ourselves that we are lifelong learners, that we can change our behaviors, that our patterns aren't set in concrete but can be change through our own determination and our willpower and our desire to grow. So I'm very passionate about this because I think we have to stop telling ourselves that our opinions don't count, or that we aren't as smart as others, or that, you know, everyone else's opinion is more informed than ours is. We all have a right to a voice, and we all have a right to express it, and the more we do that, the more independence we create as a result.
Right on. That persuading ourselves, I was surprised to see so much written in your book about self-persuasion and this self-talk that you're mentioning. We certainly find that when we talk to our clients about their career and life choices. And you were talking about your self-talk that was all about self-criticism and the shift toward a new story or a new narrative about self-acceptance and possibility. Any tips for listeners on how to do that, how to change that mental habit?
Yeah, I think it starts with, the way I characterize it is, we have our own, inside of our heads, we have our own story that we're thinking, and as we're observing things, as we're viewing other people, we're using what we know inside of who we are inside, and we're comparing that notion to what we see on the outside of other people. So we may see somebody who's really well put together and looks like they've got their act together and they look powerful and smart and invincible. But we don't know what's going on in their minds and their hearts, right? We know what's in our minds and hearts. And if we stop, and so what I would say to people is, stop comparing how you're feeling to what you see on the outside of other people, because you never know what's going through their hearts.
Absolutely.
And their minds, right? And we can always make ourselves feel bad when we see everybody else's exteriors. What we need to do is not be so concerned with what everybody else shows up as, but be more concerned with how we're showing up. And you have to tell yourself that. You have to give yourself permission to feel independent and okay with who you are. And that's a very difficult thing to do.
Absolutely. Great advice. Now, your company venture started to do very well, thanks in large part to your ability to persuade yourself and to persuade others. What then happened that led to your appearance on Dragon's Den?
You know, again, a fortuitous moment. I was sitting at my desk in my venture offices working, and the phone rang, and it was one of the producers at CBC saying, you know, hi, my name is Mike, and I'm wondering if you have a moment. And I'm going, yes, well, if you're from CBC, did you want our media department? He goes, no, I want to speak to you. And I said, okay. And he goes, listen, we're doing auditions for the show Dragon's Den. Have you ever seen it? Do you watch it? And I said, well, funny enough, I had just watched it this week. And yes, I see it. And he said, well, your name's come up because you've been on a list of some of the businesswomen in the country. And we'd love to just come and talk to you about auditioning. And that's when it started.
Nice. And so, you know, at the time, if you had seen Dragon's Den, you see that people are analyzing businesses and advising businesses once they make a deal with them. How did you feel about that at the time, where you might just have started thinking about doing this? How confident were you? How did you feel about your ability to pull it off?
It's a wonderful question, because I can tell you, when we talk about self-doubt, I thought to myself, you know, I don't belong on that stage. Listen, I'm too old, and I've got too many wrinkles, I'm overweight, and I'm not that TV person. And because, again, in my mind, a TV personality was different than who I saw myself as. And the funny thing happened is that when I sat down on the audition and they brought people out, that my experience and my real desire and belief in the entrepreneurs overshadowed all of my fears and my insecurities. And I really started to be able to, I was able to apply all those things I knew from marketing and from being in business for 30 years for myself to what I was hearing from the people in front of me, and everything else, the cameras and everything else, melted away.
It's amazing. Sometimes people feel like, you know, they want to stay in their comfort zone, and stepping too far out of their comfort zone sends them into, let's call it, the anxiety zone. But somewhere in between the comfort zone and the anxiety zone is this other place, the learning zone or something, where you know it's a stretch, but you feel like you might just be able to do it. Was that how it was for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we all believe at some level that we're somehow frauds in the roles that we're asked to play in life, right? Because we can find ourselves in a position where we go, really, you know, do they not know who I am? And,
yes.
You know, and that's kind of the beauty of it. I think you have to continue to be genuine and authentic through that journey. So yes, you're going to find yourself in anxious moments, and yes, you're going to find yourself in career situations where you're not comfortable. But you have to regroup mentally in those moments and ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? And you know what? If the worst thing that can happen is that you may fail, or you may find yourself saying something that doesn't sound exactly the way you wanted to, so what? You know, that is way better than regretting never having tried. And we've all heard that saying, but it's so true. Like, I am willing to try anything, and I have failed at many things, and I'm okay with that, because that's what's made me a stronger human and a better person, I think.
That's great advice. What's the worst that can happen is a good question to ask yourself.
Exactly.
We're talking to Arlene Dickinson here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on Career Buzz CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM worldwide. Arlene, how has being on Dragon's Den and The Big Decision, how has that changed you?
You know, I really hope it hasn't, and I'm sure it has. You can't be in the public, you know, kind of profile and be known as a public personality without it changing you somewhat. But I really work hard at kind of keeping myself grounded and not believing any of the hype or the stuff that you read about. You have to be okay with who you are. I'll tell you what it has changed for me is an opportunity to meet people that I never would have met before. It has given me an amazing chance to enrich my life through experiences with the entrepreneurs and the people who connect with me through email and Twitter and Facebook and all of the social media. So it has changed me in that it's made me, I'd say, a very grateful human being for the things that I've been blessed with. But I don't think it's certainly changed me in terms of believing that I'm somehow, you know, special, I guess.
Now, you've had a lot of business owners try and pitch you, to persuade you, to get you to invest in them. And I know you've been blogging a little bit about that on the new site, You Inc. What can you tell listeners, a couple of tips about either what works in terms of pitching and what does not work?
Oh man! If your listeners want to go to youinc.com, I'm actually in the middle of a 3-part blog on this very topic. So there are many mistakes that people make, and I'd say many of them are often starting with a place of your own personal perspective instead of what's in it for the investor, and you're not painting a picture of why they should come along the journey with you, but you're telling them about all these wonderful things that you're going to do, but not kind of how you can work together. So a perspective is always important when you're pitching, I think, certainly. And this is the same with, I think, a career. If you're trying to pitch for a job or you're trying to get a job, I think anything that you're doing has to show up as being very genuine, being very authentic, being very honest, and it has to end in a win-win, right? You have to make sure you're presenting this win-win, that it's there's something in it for everybody. And also, people go on and talk forever about, you know, they're painting, you know, they, you think they're writing the, you know, the Bible is so long.
Yes.
But, you know, being succinct is a very important point, and so is being passionate.
So you mentioned those three qualities you just briefly mentioned about principled persuasion, authenticity, honesty, and reciprocity. And you write a lot about that in persuasion. Is that it also in pitching? It's the same thing as in doing anything else in life?
I believe so. I think it's just true in life in general. You know, any interaction that you've got with another human being, this isn't a deal. You know, people always say, I love this deal. And I go, no, you don't love the deal. You never fall in love with the deal. You fall in love with the entrepreneur behind the deal or the people behind the deal.
Yes.
You need a great idea, but without the people, you have nothing. And so you have to, I think, if you approach everything from a place of honesty and reciprocity and authenticity, then I think you're going to win. And I think you're never going to lose. You know, even if you don't win the deal, you will never have lost who you are in that process.
Your most recent venture is Arlene Dickinson Enterprises. It looks like you're wanting to support and invest in the entrepreneurial lifestyle. What are you trying to achieve with You Inc. and ADE?
I think you characterized it very well. I'm trying to invest in the notion that if we support, encourage, educate, and inform entrepreneurs in our country and help them be better, that we will all win as a result. And I think this notion that entrepreneurs you can teach somebody to be an entrepreneur, I actually don't believe that. I think what you can do is help them be better entrepreneurs if they already are inclined that way. And I think that the notion that entrepreneurs understand the word balance is crazy. I don't think we do. I think we love the mess that we live in, and we are messy people in terms of how we intersect business and life. And I think it's time that a voice was out there in the market kind of helping people navigate the challenges and the pitfalls and the relationship issues and the business issues of being an entrepreneur. And it's a lifestyle choice that needs to be embraced and understood, and we need to help people get through it.
Great. Finally, I know you have to go in a moment. So just to wrap up, bringing it back to the personal, Arlene, what have you learned that you can share with listeners from your own personal twists and turns in your career and life story? What have you learned that you can share about making good career and life choices?
Well, I never have called my path a career. I've always just said, this is my life. And the reason I can say that is because I love what I do. So the advice I have is, if you're not passionate about it, if you don't get up and want to do it, then you're choosing for perhaps the wrong reasons. And when you put anything ahead of your own personal satisfaction in life as it relates to something that makes you feel good about what you've contributed in a day, then you're not going to end up in a happy place. So start from a place of finding a career path that makes you passionate, and then stop thinking about it as a career and start thinking about it as your life path.
Great advice. That's a holistic perspective that I really appreciate. Thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz, Arlene Dickinson.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure thing.
I'm Mark Franklin, and you're listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Career Buzz is brought to you by Career Cycles. Take inspired action toward making well-informed career and life choices. Go to careercycles.com to learn about professional one-on-one career management programs using a story listening approach to career counseling. If you're a helping professional looking to scale up career management, visit onelifetools.com to learn about the Who You Are Matters game and online storyteller.
Today we're also joined by a few of the participants on Dragon's Den who have pitched Arlene Dickinson. We have Rohan Mahimkar and Alex Peters. They started Smart Teacher. It was a fourth-year project at the University of Waterloo, and they had a bold vision, and it was to revolutionize the way kids learn in software by responding to their emotions. Their product, Prodigy, is a Pokemon-style video game that teaches kids math. And their company experienced significant growth after filming on Dragon's Den. Rohan Mahimkar and Alex Peters join me live by phone from Toronto. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us here. So, Smart Teacher, what are the two of you guys like about how things are going for you now in your careers and lives?
First and foremost, I think the most exciting part is probably the creative control we have. I mean, we get a lot of control over what goes into our game and how best to shape the vision of the company to do what you had mentioned, which is to help kids learn math.
Right on. So let's get to the Dragon's Den appearance. Now, first of all, why did you guys apply to be on Dragon's Den?
To be completely honest, it would be great marketing exposure for us. And I think it was a great opportunity to get feedback from actual business people who had been successful in their respective fields and get a third-party kind of no BS evaluation of our company.
Yeah, they don't hold back on Dragon's Den, so it was a very good way for us to get some quick validation or realize what we need to refocus on based on their feedback from the show.
Right on it. How do you prepare for that? How do you get yourself ready to do the pitch? You know, we spoke to Arlene Dickinson earlier. She talked a little bit about what works and what doesn't work. What did you guys do to prepare yourself for the pitch?
Well, we only found out about 48 hours before we were going on, so we didn't have too much time to stress about it, which was probably for the best. But to actually prepare, I mean, we basically wanted to get, first and foremost, the dragons excited, because you want them to at least take some interest in the idea before they're ever going to take the time to dig in and see if this is a viable business. So we wanted to come up with a way for them to understand the long-term value of what we were trying to accomplish, as well as see where we were and how much we had accomplished to date, so that they could have some faith in us as the entrepreneurs that could drive this and succeed. In order to prepare for their questions, I mean, fortunately, Rohan has watched every single episode of Dragon's Den, so he was pretty familiar with all their typical questions, and we were able to craft our responses to try to make sure that we didn't make fools of ourselves on national television.
And what did you ask for going into the show? You know, most entrepreneurs, business founders go in asking for a certain amount of money, possibly in exchange for a certain percentage of their company. What was your original ask?
Our original ask was 120 grand for 12% of our company. And then that changed later on. Once they made us an offer, we countered at 200 grand for 30%. The whole process took about 45 minutes. What you see on TV is a super condensed version of it. And there's a lot of questioning, a lot of kind of back and forth, some arguing between Arlene and Kevin. And essentially, four of them made us offers, which was they wanted 50% of the company for the 120 grand we were asking for. We countered with 200 grand for 30%. And Jim was kind of seriously contemplating that offer, and he ended up backing out in the end.
So, of course, they edit it down, and as a watcher of the show, you don't get the whole story. So I find that fascinating. You were going to give away 12% of your company, and they came back wanting 50%. How did you feel when that happened?
To be honest, it was pretty expected. They typically do that with companies that don't have sales. I think it's a way to gain control over the company and make sure that it succeeds with the core idea. But it sucks to have your valuation cut by 75%. So we started doing a little bit of backtracking and started coming back at them with stats as to why it was worth $1 million.
And the arguing that you said was going on among the dragons, what were they arguing about?
Kevin kept cutting in with pretty negative predictions of where we were going to go. If you watch the episode, he makes some comments like, Rohan and I wore matching blue shirts. We had our moms dress us up before the show, apparently.
Yes.
And he was predicting that our shirts would be blood red by the time we finished this venture. But any time he said something like that, Arlene immediately came to our defense and basically told them to back down.
So she was sort of the good cop with the good cop, bad cop routine.
You know what? I didn't even think of it like that. Maybe they were running a good cop, bad cop routine to try to lower our valuation.
So finally, they made an offer back to you guys. What happened? What did you do with it?
So So essentially, we rejected the 50% offer. We countered, as I said, and on our counter, Arlene and the rest backed out besides Jim. Jim was seriously contemplating our counteroffer. We had some back-and-forth conversation with Jim, and he decided to back out because we were a bit early at that stage.
When the episode finally aired, how did that change things?
So when the episode aired, we obviously got a ton of good exposure. What was really valuable to us was a lot of the surrounding kind of buzz amongst our company. So we've got into a lot of newspapers after that who decided to write about us. We had people reaching out to us. We obviously had people signing up on the website. So a lot of the buzz and the kind of marketing exposure was really valuable from the show.
What can you share with listeners about making career and life choices in their own situations?
Well, I wouldn't want to give any advice to anybody not my age, I would say, but I very much enjoyed this entire experience, and I think as people are graduating from university, I would honestly suggest that if you have an idea that you think has some merit, obviously go talk to some business people, et cetera, some angels like Arlene if she'll make some time for you. But if you have an idea, now is the time to risk it. There's a ton that you end up learning about business that is going to serve you well in your career if it doesn't work out for you. This is the best time to go and take that risk because, I mean, coming out of school, you're not used to having a lot of money, you don't have a lot of expenses, and you have a lot of energy to deal with the punches that inevitably come with trying to start a company. So I would strongly encourage anybody with a good idea to consider taking the plunge.
Great advice. Guys, if people want to learn more about Smart Teacher, how do they do that?
So you can visit our website. It's smartteacher.ca.
Great. Rohan and Alex, thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thanks very much.
We're going to move on to another Dragon's Den participant, Taryn Wolf. Taryn is founder of Urban Cultivator, and his goal is to help people take control of what they eat. Welcome, Taryn.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Career Buzz. Urban Cultivator has this very unique product. Can you just describe to listeners what it is that you guys do?
Yeah, we make fully automated growing appliances for residential users, which is the same size as a dishwasher or a wine cooler. And then we make another one that's for commercial users like restaurants, hotels, resorts, and that's the same size as a commercial refrigerator.
And you can grow stuff right in your condo or in your apartment or your house.
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically fully automated for growing anything from microgreens, which seem to be the most popular, microgreens to classic herbs, to lettuces, to small vegetables.
So what happened? When you went in there, most of the business owners come in with a pitch. They want to get a certain amount of money for a certain percentage of their company usually. What was your original pitch?
Yeah, original pitch was $400,000 for 10%, and things evolved. As the previous guests were on, they were talking about, I mean, ours was well over an hour. So what you see and you know, the actuality of what went on are totally different. It was awesome. It was a great experience. It was a heated debate, right, and which is always good practice, and you better know your stuff. So it was rewarding in a sense that we came up with a deal, but we had a lot of interest from all the dragons, and we decided to go with Arlene in the end. We eventually got a deal for $400,000 for 20%.
So Arlene got the 20%, and you got $400,000 of value. What's happened since? How has that now translated into practical things in your company?
It's been great working with Arlene and Venture Communications. They got a great team. And they're basically been doing a lot of our social media. Obviously, we're trying to again, increase exposure, increase, you know, the eyeballs that we get on our company. So that's what they're helping us with. And then now all this is unrolling now. It takes a while from when the show is originally aired, but we're having fun now.
The $400,000, was that cash or was that in kind? Was that service through Arlene and her company? And how do you feel about the deal that you struck? Does it feel like it was a good balanced deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we were talking about, you know, the ability to look back and you know, in any situation is a huge strength, right? And you know, there's other deals that were on the table that, you know, I still think about. But the reality is that, you know, Arlene's She's wonderful to work with. She's really down to earth, and she's been a great mentor. So, you know, those are the value adds that I probably wouldn't have got with somebody else. So I'm really happy.
Excellent. Now, how's it going for you now that you've gotten that exposure on Dragon's Den and you have Arlene Dickinson involved? How's the business going, and how's the financial return for you personally?
It's been great. I mean, the main part, you know, it's amazing the reach that the show has. We got our first full condo development with where they put a residential kitchen cultivator, the ones that are same size as a dishwasher, into every unit in Mongolia, of all places. So they love the show in Mongolia. They watch it online all the time, so they heard of us. We open up a good distributor now that's out of Australia, all over Europe, which kind of shocked me. I didn't think that the show had that kind of reach, but I guess there's a lot of online viewers. And just with, you know, the distribution and the developers that we've picked up has obviously been the biggest asset from the show.
Right on. Mongolia, that is just totally amazing. Finally, what can you share with listeners from your own personal career story and the twists and turns that you've had about making good career and life choices? What can you share with listeners about that?
It's true what everybody else has been saying. You know, don't be afraid to screw up, and but have the ability to where you can, you know, take the emotion out of it and look at a deal and or look at how you could have screwed up and try and change that, right? As long as you can look at the process and be open to a different format, that's the most important thing. Because, I mean, for me, you know, education is great, but trial and error is a faster way to learn.
And if people want to find out more about Urban Cultivator, how do they do that?
They would go to www.urbancultivator.net.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life. We'll be right back.